WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Man, oh man, it is one sunny hump day. Yes, Wednesday, January 28th. We're so honored that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Folks, we've got an exciting, intriguing, just off the chain show today. I'm excited about it, folks. Today, I will invite Diamond Leung. He is a former Michigan State beat writer for MLive.com, now turned beat writer for the Golden State Warriors National Basketball Association team. For the Bay Area News Group, Diamond is going to talk all things Warriors. He'll talk about Draymond Green. Of course, the former stud for the MSU men's basketball team. Draymond is quickly making his name be heard loud and clear at the next level, folks. He'll also talk about that incredible 37-point game. I should say 37 points, and get this, in one quarter game from Klay Thompson, and so much more. Diamond, can't wait to talk to him. You don't want to miss that chat. We'll also be chatting about Greg Madison, kicked out of a recruit's home. I kid you not, folks. And, of course, the Detroit Pistons falling last night to the King, LeBron James. Can the Pistons make the playoffs legitimately without Brandon Jennings? We'll talk about that and so much more, folks. But before we do, here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, for this January 28th. All right, let's start with the MSU women's basketball team. Now, the MSU women's basketball team hopes to win its second straight game as Indiana comes to town struggling, losing their last three conference games. Now, Indiana previously beat MSU 70-51 out in Bloomington. They play tonight at 7 p.m. We'll be giving away tickets to that game also. Stay tuned. All right, National Signing Day is on the horizon, and the Spartans are making several headlines. Now, junior college defensive back and brother of former Nebraska QB Taylor Martinez, Drake Martinez, has announced that he will transfer to Michigan State. Now, the Spartans also reportedly received commitments from Ohio twins Andrew and David Dow. Now, the Dow twins, both four-star recruits, were originally committed to Kentucky. And again, how about this story, folks? Hoping to flip Nebraska's Deshaun Neal from the Cornhuskers, U of M defensive line coach Greg Madison reportedly made a bit of a boo-boo. Now, Neal was reportedly considering a flip to the Wolverines, but felt insulted by Madison's words during this visit. Now, Madison reportedly told Neal that he wouldn't be able to get into the school without the game of football. Madison was escorted out of the house shortly after that. We'll have more details and discussion on that story later on in the hour. Oh boy, my Detroit Pistons. They dropped their third straight last night since the injury to starting point guard Brandon Jennings.
Irving on the other end. Triples.
5-point swing.
Yeah, the Pistons. 103-95 loss came at the hands of a hot Cavaliers team that seemed to be really a game in which they are revealing some, I guess you could say, holes in that offense in the absence of Brandon Jennings. Now, again, the Pistons will have to have a short memory and shift their focus to tonight when they try to snap a three-game skid playing the 76ers tonight at 7 p.m. So we'll see if they can dig themselves out of that hole. The 76ers, honestly, folks, aren't that good. So stay positive. All right, the Red Wings return to play after a week-long break, defeating the Panthers 5-4. The Wings went into the All-Star break on a five-game winning streak and didn't let the momentum shift. Now, the win over the Panthers is Detroit's sixth straight, and for the time being has moved the Red Wings into first place in the Atlantic Division. And how about this? The Golden State Warriors, they were defeated for the second time at home to the Chicago Bulls. Now, the Warriors dominated the Bulls during the first half of a 56-51 lead, and the Bulls took their overtime win, 113-111, thanks to Derrick Rose's hot shot at the buzzer.
ISO for Rose.
Jumper on the way. Good.
Oh, man.
With 7 seconds left in overtime.
Is Derrick Rose good or what? Man, he had 11 turnovers with one assist in the fourth quarter and ending the game with 30 points. Derrick Rose, he has been a man-child in these past few games. All right, Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao met in person for the first time courtside at the Bucks and Heat's game during halftime. Now, the brief meeting included phone numbers being exchanged between the two boxers. Hopefully meaning, I'm crossing my fingers, hopefully meaning that some agreements about the May 2nd Vegas bout will be made sooner than later. I really hope they were talking about that fight. I really hope they were. All right, and yesterday, Serena Williams defeats Dominika Kubikova 6-2 in both matches. I did pretty good with that name, advancing her to the semifinals in the Australian Open. Now, this will be Serena's 6th Australian Open, but is the first time since 2010 being a semifinalist. Now, Williams will take on the 19-year-old phenom Madison Keys tonight in the semis. Keys beat Venus yesterday and plans on stunning Serena, her sister, as well. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners for this January 28th. If you want to call in right now and share your thoughts on any of that or anything that's on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, hey, let's start the show. All right, folks, I also have two extended headliners to mention. The Rebounders Club will hold its next luncheon this Friday at Eagle Eye Golf Course. Now, doors open at 10:45 a.m. The program will begin at 11:45 a.m. The cost of the luncheon is $15 for members and $20 for non-members. Memberships will be available at the door. Again, that's the Rebounders Club luncheon, folks. Now, the annual food drive also for the Greater Lansing and MSU student food banks will be held on Saturday, February 7th. So just giving you guys a heads up on that to keep that in also on your noggin. Donations can be made at the luncheon this Friday for that event as well. So that should be a great one. Also, folks, gotta definitely shout out a few individuals here. I spent my morning at the Cooley Law School Stadium, of course, home of the Lansing Lugnuts. I went out there for some breaking news, some exciting news happening right here in the grand city of Lansing. Now, I tell you what, folks, the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame was announced. How about that? Michigan is going to have its own Hall of Fame. Now, it was a part of the Lugnuts 2020 Visionary Partnership, joining 7 select founding partners, which are Auto Owners Insurance, LAFQ, and a few others, of course. Now, the Hall of Fame will be incorporated into the $11.5 million. That's a lot of moolah, folks. $11.5 million renovation at Cooley Law School Stadium to be located along the new 360-degree walkway beyond the center field wall. Now, it will be officially open during a Hall of Fame weekend on Saturday, June 27th. So in June, mid to late June, is when the first names to ever be inducted will be announced for the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame. How cool is that? You know, it's pretty cool because I was there setting up. Mayor Verge Monero was there. We chatted with him. Of course, we talked with Clyde Weir, who is Detroit Tiger scout. We also talked with the owner, Tom Dickinson, of course, of the Lansing Lugnuts. Great time. And you know who walked in? Of course, my former boss and good friend over at Channel 6, sports director for WLNS TV 6, Fred Heumann. And, you know, I'm sitting there and I start looking at the press release, and Fred is actually a part of the experts in the committee on the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame committee that will be deciding who gets in the hall and who gets inducted. How about that? Others include Joe Block, of the he was a Michigan State alumnus, of course, who was the broadcaster for the Milwaukee Brewers, Jake Boss Sr., of course, father to Jake Boss Jr., who's the head coach of the MSU men's baseball team. You got Paul Carey, Detroit Tigers radio broadcaster, Mario Empemba, Detroit Tigers television broadcaster, Rich Maloney, of the University of Michigan baseball coach from 2003 to 2012, Tim Stout of Channel 10 here in Lansing, Mark Yule, MHSAA assistant director, and of course, yeah, Clyde Weir, Detroit Tigers scout. How about that? So they will make up the committee that will decide who gets enshrined into the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame. Cool stuff, folks. And they had pictures up as well. And right now, I don't know if you guys have driven downtown Lansing near Cooley Law School Stadium, but in the outfield, they are building apartments right now that will be right there in the outfield. How cool is that? I'm just kind of worried. I mean, those who, of course, will be residing there. I mean, just imagine eating your dinner and then all of a sudden, you know, a baseball flies through your window. I'm pretty sure they're going to make those windows pretty nice and sturdy, okay? Pretty cool stuff. Exciting times. Exciting times for the city of Lansing. And the Baseball Hall of Fame is actually going to be enshrined in the outfield, and there will be plaques of those inducted into the hall. So, exciting stuff. I will be completing my report on that for WKAR.org. You'll get to see that on tomorrow night's Current Sports TV, as well as WKAR.org. I'm going to throw together a nice package for you all. So, stay tuned and keep it locked to WKAR, for coverage of that one. So, all right, folks. Well, we've got an exciting show. I can't wait to invite our guest on the show, Diamond Leung. Of course, Diamond, a great friend of Current Sports. He's been on multiple times. He used to be a Michigan State sports reporter in the area and did an outstanding job and is now working as a beat writer for the Golden State Warriors NBA squad. How about that? He's with the Bay Area News Group. And, of course, you know, this squad, I tell you what, if you've been keeping up with the NBA this season, the Warriors have been a title favorite in many people's eyes. I mean, they have the best record in the league. They really have no weaknesses other than maybe that post area. But even then, I mean, they got David Lee back now. He's doing his thing. Draymond Green, former Spartan Draymond Green, has just been off the charts. I mean, this team is remarkable. So Diamond will join me later on. But again, folks, we are taking your calls, 517-355-9527. We have our good friend and dedicated Current Sports listener on line one, my man Ray. How you doing, Ray?
Doing, my friend.
I'm doing fantastic, man. How you doing?
I've got to call you out on something. Michigan State.
Yeah.
How in the world did they get beat by Nebraska? I watched that game. They were 15 down. I turned it off. I come back and they almost pulled it out. They lost by two. Michigan just stomped all over them last night. 14 points. And I'm concerned, are you guys going to even be able to beat them on your own floor? They're, even though they've lost two their starters, they seem to be hustling like crazy. That center, that white guy, he's very athletic, but he's a hustler. I'm going to tell you, I hope you have a center, because the only way Wisconsin won that last game before in overtime was that center outscored their whole team. They drove it at the ball inside. And if you can't drive it inside, you've got to be able to pop it back out and make some threes. Nebraska was 4 out of 18 last night.
Well, I tell you what, Ray, you use the word concerned, and I said it on Monday after watching that game. I jotted down a lot of notes, and I tell you what, I'm concerned as well, and I think many Spartan fans out there should be concerned, because this is a team that, you know, when you look at the athleticism on this squad and you look at the talent, their record should be better than what it is right now. I'm seeing an absence in a lot of areas. One of the glaring absences is in two areas, I should say. Defensively, Michigan State hasn't been there defensively. And I think a lot of that comes down to the E word, effort. I just don't see effort on the defensive end from them. Also, again, it's been a problem all year, Ray, and it is that half-court offense. Yeah. Michigan State, if they're not scoring in transition and if they're forced to run a half-court offensive set, they look lost. They look lost, Ray. And anytime, you know, you have teams that are great at playing transition defense and slowing the Spartans down, you even the playing field with them, because they don't have a go-to guy that can put the ball in the basket like a Adrian Payne or a Gary Harris was last year for the Spartans, or even a Draymond Green going back years past that. They don't have it. No, Brandon Dawson right now, One thing you can guarantee, this team is going to rebound because Michigan State right now is still leading the conference in rebounding. But as far as having that post presence, who you can get the ball and score to, they don't have that. Draymond Green is not that type of guy. Matt Costello is not that type of guy. Gavin Schilling is not that type of a guy. Those three guys work best when they're playing off of the ball. When the ball goes up, clanks off the rim, and they can get the rebound and put it back up. They're not guys you can dish it to down low and expect magic to happen. So, yeah, it is a concern, Ray.
Well, I'll tell you what. Michigan plays a darn good 2-3 defense. You're going to have to either get somebody to push it inside or you're going to have to kick it out and make some threes.
Yep.
Because Nebraska couldn't make nothing last night. They were 4 out of 18. And I'm going to tell you what, Michigan's got 8 losses. You guys got 7. I think the loser's probably going to stay out of the tournament. You need to win this game to get in the tournament.
I tell you what, Ray, every game from here on out, Michigan State has to have an outstanding showing because I do think Michigan State and Michigan are both on the bubble right now.
Yep.
When it comes to making the tourney, they need wins. They need it now. They need to prove their case. And I also think another key stretch is going to be the Big Ten tournament as well. They need a great showing out of that whole spiel if they want to also legitimize their case.
Well,
I definitely agree.
You lost to Michigan twice until you won in the tournament last year against them.
Right, exactly.
They got to start hustling because Michigan will all hustle them on their own floor if they don't be careful.
Yeah, that's true, Ray. Only time will tell. Big matchup this Sunday at the Breslin Center. The rivalry.
Spartans.
That's right. There you go. Thanks a lot, Ray, for the call. Appreciate that. Again, folks, if you want to call in, just like our man Ray just did, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, this week is one of the most exciting weeks in sports, at least for me, and I'm sure many of you out there as well. Of course, this Sunday is not just the Michigan and Michigan State men's basketball game, but this Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. The biggest sporting event in the U.S. of A., folks. The Seattle Seahawks taking the course on the New England Patriots at Deflategate. There's been a lot of discussion about this game, not even about the game, about the game previous to this game, in which, of course, New England, you know, deflating balls, 11 of those 12 balls. That's been the talk of the town for quite some time. But can we just – I want to get away from all of that for today because I feel like we've been talking about it in exhausting – just every angle of that story. And, you know, these next 3 days here on Current Sports, we're going to be having a lot of fun with the Super Bowl. Now, I'm going to dive into this really cool segment in just a sec, but just to give you guys a heads up, tomorrow you don't want to miss Current Sports because I will be chatting with Mike Haynes. Mike Haynes, if that name rings a bell, folks, this man, his name is enshrined into the walls of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He had an illustrious career with the L.A. Rams. Just an unbelievable individual. He actually battled back from prostate cancer. He beat cancer and is now on a tour to promote men's health while also giving his thoughts on the Super Bowl. So Mike will be with us. Also, we'll be giving you guys a Super Bowl preview on Friday. So the next 3 days are going to be exciting. And today, you know, we're going to bring to you, of course, a lot of people don't just watch the Super Bowl for the game. Okay, if you're like my mom, she doesn't watch for the game. My mom is always tuned into the commercials. That's the sideshow other than watching the game itself, okay? And I tell you what, over the years, there have been some great Super Bowl commercials, folks. So let's have a little fun right now. I'm going to give you my top 5 Super Bowl commercials of all time. Okay, I'm going to start with number 5. I got to start first off with the Nike Air Jordan commercial. Now, if you haven't seen it, folks, it's a pretty cool commercial because you got Michael Jordan. And if you remember, for those, you know, born in the 90s like I was, this was the movie, okay, as a kid, Space Jam. And, of course, Michael Jordan was the athlete during that time, the most recognizable athlete on the face of the earth. And it was real clever. It's a very clever ad because, you know, it gets younger kids excited about, you know, buying the over-expensive shoes by using cartoons, using, you know, Daffy Duck and, of course, Bugs Bunny himself. Now, Michael Jordan will be on. Well, he went on to be featured in a numerous amount of different Super Bowl ads the next few years. Again, this took place in 1992. His future co-stars would include Larry Bird, Charles Barkley. And, you know, it's pretty cool because, again, this commercial was a really nice teaser for Space Jam, the Looney Tunes movie with Mike that would come out in 1996. So that one always has a special place in my heart. So Nike Air Jordan, Nike always makes great commercial. Next, I got to go with the Budweiser Frogs. Take a listen to this. Yeah, that's an instant classic, folks. That's the Budweiser Frogs commercial that came out in 1995. Now, again, I tell you what, this commercial was made in the 90s, again, 1995, and it's a brand that really stuck with you. I'll never forget that commercial. Three frogs, they were an instant hit, just mimicking, you know, the word Budweiser. And it was everywhere. It kind of took off from there. They kind of died out, but that's just one of the more memorable ones for me. Number three, I gotta go with the Reebok Terry Tate commercial, folks. Check this out.
When we asked Reebok to send us Terry Tate, some people thought we were crazy. But I'm a firm believer in paradigm breaking, outside the box thinking.
Hey, buddy.
Break was over 15 minutes ago, Mitch!
And since Terry's been with us, our productivity has gone up 46%. We're getting more from our employees than ever before.
You know you need a cover sheet on your TPS reports, Richard! That ain't new, baby!
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Janice!
But what's really impressed me is how Terry's become part of the Felcher family. He fits right in here.
That's a long-distance call, Doug!
To be honest, I wish Reebok sent us 10 Terry Tates.
You want to play games, Gene? Well, when it's game time, it's pay time, baby! Woo!
Yeah, you know what? And I battled with putting Terry Tate at number one because I think out of my entire list, I think that may be the funniest Super Bowl commercial ever. I mean, you got these guys in the office working, and whoever's slacking off, you got Terry Tate, who's supposed to be this macho former football player, just tackling just everyone around the office who isn't doing their job. That is hilarious. I think every office, yeah, I agree. I think every office needs their own Terry Tate. But yeah, that is a hilarious commercial. That took place out back in 2003. Remember, I was in high school watching that one and just on the ground laughing. Okay, number two. I mean, this is just a classic commercial. I wanted to put it number one again. These top three with the Coca-Cola commercial with Mean Joe Green is what I'm about to throw to, and my number one and a Terry Tate. I really struggle, folks. But again, this ad kind of set the standard for Super Bowl commercials. Now, it technically aired before the Super Bowl, but it became iconic when it was showed to millions during the game. Listen to it.
Mr. Green?
Yeah.
You need any help?
Mm-mm.
I just want you to know, I think you're the best ever.
Yeah, sure.
Want my Coke? It's okay, you can have it.
No.
Really, you can have it.
Okay.
A Coke and a smile makes me feel good. Makes me feel nice.
Be around.
That's the way it should be. I like to see.
Hey, kid.
The whole world is smiling with me. Coca-Cola has life.
Thanks, Mean Joe.
Oh, boy. Are you crying right now? I just had to get a tissue there. I mean, Mean Joe Green, a guy who, again, he's not called Mean Joe Green for no reason. He was known to be a menace on the football field. We'd never really seen a soft spot for Mean Joe. And even when the kid came up initially, he's like, hey, you know, Joe, you're the best ever, man. Kind of walks off like, leave me alone, kid. Then he turns around and throws the kid his jersey. Now, the ad has been parodied and spoofed many times over the decades, okay? There are many people who have made fun of the ad and they had a lot of fun with it, but it even remains popular over 30 years after it originally aired. Now, also in 2012, Joe Green reenacted the ad for Downy, if you remember, in a 2012 commercial for the Super Bowl. So me and Joe Green, I mean, that is classic, folks. From the music, from of course, the theme music there, you know, the lady singing. I mean, goodness gracious, that's a fantastic ad. But number one, numero uno, you guys know I'm a big Jordan fan, right? Number one has to be this.
This is for your Big Mac, right? First one that misses?
Watches the winner eat lunch. Got it.
Off the glass.
Get in. Nice shot.
One knee.
Which knee? Oh. Get in there.
Off the floor, off the scoreboard, off the bank board, no rim.
Over the second rafter, off the floor, nothing but net. Through the window, off the wall, nothing but net.
What you want is what you get, and McDonald's today.
Off the expressway, over the river, off the billboard, through the window, off the wall, nothing but net.
How about that? That is another classic, ladies and gents. Again, they call that one the Showdown. That's the name of the commercial. Bird, Larry Bird, the great Larry Bird versus, of course, the GOAT, Michael Jordan, in the 1993 McDonald's ad that, again, aired during that year's Super Bowl. How about that? So Bird, you know, Michael Jordan, he brings a Big Mac into the gym. Larry Bird challenges him to a epic shooting contest. Of horse. You guys know horse, right? I mean, the crazy shots that go along in horse. And again, you got Larry Bird playing Mike in horse. I mean, that's just classic in itself. How about that, folks? Did I miss anything? Do you have a favorite Super Bowl commercial? Really quick, before the break, I mean, Alex, how does that list look for you? I mean, am I missing anything off that list? If you could give your top Super Bowl commercial, does anything trump that one?
Well, yeah, hard to top that list. That's the list of classics right there. The only one I would say is the Budweiser one from last year with the dog chasing the horse. That one's got to be a classic, too, because that left a lot of tears, a lot of chatter.
Did you cry during that one?
I teared up a little bit.
I did, man. I had to go to the bathroom right in the middle of the
Super Bowl
party.
Anything with animals, you just feel it.
Right, exactly. Folks, if you have a favorite Super Bowl commercial, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I would love to hear what your licks looks like. All right. Oh, well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Diamond Leung of the Bay Area News Group. Diamond is a beat writer for the Golden State Warriors. Yes, Diamond will be talking about the incredible team of the Warriors and their stellar season thus far, even though they took a loss to Chicago last night. And also the emergence of former MSU hoop star Draymond Green. Draymond is becoming a staple on that team, folks. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, I got to remind you all that Current Sports TV tapes tonight, just like each and every Wednesday night, folks, at 6 p.m. I'll be sitting down with a man who could scare many little children if he was walking down the street. I tell you what, Ken Manny, if you don't know who Ken Manny is, he is one of the most intense individuals you'll ever meet in your life. He is the head strength and conditioning coach at Michigan State University. He is actually the longest tenured strength and conditioning coach in the Big Ten Conference. He's been with MSU for quite some time, folks, and has done one outstanding job. He is a big component to why that football program is where it's at today. Ken Manny joins me tonight. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, just simply go to WKAR.org right now to sign up online for free. Well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports Radio Show. Now, his name is Diamond Leung. He is the Golden State Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. He's doing one outstanding job out in the Bay. He actually used to work right here in the area. That's right, as a Michigan State sports writer for MLive.com. Diamond, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, Al. How about yourself?
Fantastic. I tell you what, first off, the weather has to be just crazy good out there. I'm jealous right now, Diamond.
Oh my goodness, it's in the 60s.
Wow.
It's darn near short sleeve weather.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, just rub it in, my man. We're dealing with like in the teens right now. I think like 14 degrees. It feels like negative 20 with the wind chill. Oh my goodness. Hey, live it up out there, my man, for me at least. Now, I got to ask you, Diamond.
Yeah,
this team, the Golden State Warriors. Now, you know, I'm a big NBA enthusiast, and I have been watching this team all year. And they lost a close one last night to the Bulls, a team who I do think is peaking at this point with Derrick Rose and company. But I tell you what, watching Golden State, they are the epitome of what fun is in the NBA. I mean, when you got so many characters on that squad, from Steph Curry to Klay Thompson to Draymond Green, they can beat you in so many areas. Did you expect that this team would be this good this year?
Maybe not to the point where they're 36-7 and, you know, leading the Western Conference by four games at this point. Certainly not to this level. And I don't think anyone could really say that, you know, on their own team. But, no, I think, you know, you're representative of the type of, you know, NBA fan that's out there that's really discovering the Warriors, that's maybe considering them the most fun team in the league to watch. And I think they're attracting a lot of new fans in that way. Now, people here locally have always been pretty supportive of the team, win or lose. But I think now the Warriors are taking it as an organization, taking it to that next level where, you know, as just a general basketball fan, you can't keep your eyes away from the screen. You know, every night there's a different kind of YouTube-worthy clip that's, you know, highlight that's going to come out of the game, you know, whether it's from Stephen Curry, whether it's, you know, Draymond Green making a hustle play last night and tipping in the ball to force overtime. I mean, it's just crazy to watch sometimes, and you know maybe you get spoiled watching it every night in my position, but it's certainly something to see.
Yes, certainly. And I tell you what, to talk about Draymond Green for a second, of course Draymond was an outstanding player here at Michigan State, but you know, to see his emergence in the league and to see the role that he now plays with Golden State is truly remarkable, because honestly, Diamond, I didn't think he'd be this good. I mean, it seems as though he's gotten better every year he's been in the league, and he is becoming so, just such a force each and every game, game in and game out. I mean, what is his progression like, and what has clicked for him to take his game to that level?
No, it's quite a meteoric rise. I think, you know, everyone that's followed him at Michigan State knows he improved there every year, and you kind of wondered, okay, well, in the NBA, can he continue that? Has he hit his ceiling? Well, I mean, he's talked about the season as, you know, I don't believe in ceiling, you know, and he's certainly right, because every time he steps on the court, it seems like something different's happened. Now, you know, the last time he faced Chicago, he hit 7 3-pointers in a game. I mean, you know, it's stuff that was unheard of, you know, back then. And now his defense has improved to the point where he's guarding 1 through 5. He mentioned as a defensive player of the year candidate, you know, if not the front runner. And, you know, it's just one of those deals where I think, you know, it's because of that kind of attitude that he's had that he's never really going to stop trying to get better. You know, he came back to Michigan, you know, in the offseason, kept working out, kept shooting jumpers every day, you know, playing the Moneyball League. And, you know, when he got, you know, back to Golden State, here he was in a new offensive system under Steve Kerr, and he didn't feel quite right at the start in training camp. They were bumping heads a little bit, and, you know, he had to find his way. But, you know, now that I think everybody understands what he's all about, you know, the Steve Kerr is going to give him then the nickname Heartbeat, you know, because he's
heartbeat
of the team.
Nice.
Whether, yeah,
I like
whether
that.
Whether it's emotionally, whether it's, yeah, it's just, and it's something that, you know, might stick as well. You know, he's in a contract year, and he's obviously proven he can do big things right now, and it just keeps getting better.
Now, you talk about the clash. Of course, last year they let go of Mark Jackson. And I saw Mark actually broadcasted one of the games, Golden State Warrior games this season, and he got a standing ovation from the crowd and the players who are currently on the Warrior squad. And you talk about that clash. I mean, Steve Kerr coming in as the new guy now and doing one fantastic job. And what areas did Draymond and Steve clash at?
Well, it was during training camp, kind of in the early going. I think what happened was, you know, Draymond, you know, went into the offseason thinking, you know, hey, I'm going to be that stretch four. The team didn't trade for Kevin Love at that point. Draymond was going to be that guy that was going to be firing up shots. And I think maybe he went into training camp a little bit overexcited about that portion of his game.
Right.
Whereas I think, you know, Steve Kerr kind of pulled him aside and said, hey, you know, I know it's the contract year. I know you want to be, shooting these shots, but, you know, find yourself, in the offense, a little bit more naturally. You know, don't have to force things and just kind of make plays, be yourself in the flow of our offense, of our system. And I think after Draymond kind of realized that and maybe accepted that role, you see all that he wanted to do from the outset and more. You know, he's blossomed to an even, greater heights, after he kind of just let things come naturally. And I think you're really seeing that.
So ideally, I mean, that was a brilliant coaching move right there from Steve Kerr, am I right?
No, and he's done a lot of that. I think, if you ask Steve, he's learned quickly, hey, he's got the championship credentials with 5 NBA championship rings. People aren't really going to question those X's and O's, even though he hasn't coached before, because he's surrounded himself with top assistant coaches who can kind of help him along in that area. But I think where he can really make a difference is his relationships with the players. You're coming onto a situation where a lot of the players shared close relationships with Mark Jackson, and the first thing that Steve wanted to do was meet with all his new players, just make sure to kind of lay down the groundwork for stuff that was going to come up in the future, whether it was disagreements like that one, just kind of mending fences over some guys that supported Mark Jackson to the end. And I think you're really seeing that pay off now in terms of how he's getting his guys to perform on a nightly basis.
Yes, certainly. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with Diamond Leung, Golden State Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. Now, looking at Draymond's numbers right now, Diamond, 11.6 points per game, 8 rebounds, 3.6 assists, a little over 1 block a game, a little over 1 steal a game. His efficiency rating, according to NBA.com, is a plus 9.8. That's through the roof. I mean, something that I will always remember when I first started covering sports in this area of Diamond was just, because Draymond was still here. Just the presence that Draymond had in the locker room. I mean, Tom Izzo talked about how he was just a natural leader, one of the best leaders that he's ever coached here at Michigan State. I mean, what is his locker room presence like in the pros when you have so many guys that are so good?
I think that's the amazing part of it, is he's really taken on that attitude. And, after, a couple of years, really established himself as, one of the emotional leaders on this team. That's not easy to do when you have superstars, like Stephen Curry, like Klay Thompson, that, are maybe a little more prominent for the casual NBA watcher. But I think if you look at the emotional makeup on this team, Steph Curry is a guy that's ultra competitive on the court. He's not necessarily going to be that vocal, that loud, demonstrative guy that kind of pulls you along. He kind of quietly does his thing, and on the court, people look to him. Same with Klay Thompson, more of a lead by example kind of guy, very quiet off the court. And I think Draymond really takes on that vocal, emotional leadership side, where guys kind of look to him to provide that fire, provide that energy, and it's really worked out for him.
Yeah, he certainly has. I tell you what, Draymond Green really kind of becoming the poster boy for Spartan success, I should say, at the next level in the NBA. And you brought up Klay Thompson. Diamond, I got to play this for you.
The Kings have 19. Klay has 29.
Get it to him again. He's got it. His three.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know, as an announcer, I probably would have lost my mind. I don't know what I would have done in that moment. I tell you what, the 37-point game in one quarter is what Klay, he just completely, just unbelievably was on a hot streak and broke the record for most points scored ever in one quarter at the NBA level. 37 points from Klay Thompson. I mean, what was it like? Can you kind of take us in that moment? Can you, Diamond?
You know what, I was there, and the funny thing is, when you're a sports writer writing on deadline, it gets even crazier. You're looking up, he's making a shot. You're trying to write down what it means to the game, and if you remember, he didn't really score early on in that quarter.
Right, it took him 2 minutes into the quarter. Right.
Yeah, so it's kind of like one of these slow burns where, at the start of a no hitter, you never really know anything's up, right? At that point, you're like, oh, he's doing pretty good.
Right.
Pretty good. And it just starts building and crescendoing. And pretty soon, you look in the stat sheet and you're like, whoa, he was 13 for 13, 9 for 9 from three-point range. And it just got a little crazier after every shot. I think the play I'll remember is there, and it wasn't actually any one of the three-pointers, but at one point he kind of shoot away, you know, everybody else on offense. He dribbles kind of through the lane, goes 1-on-5, and hits a jump shot against the entire defense, and the crowd just went absolutely nuts. And, you know, you practically thought Oracle Arena was going to cave in, and it was just something that was really fun to see, just from a basketball watching standpoint. And I think, you know, I'm sure a lot of people back there, you know, probably caught the action as well, and you know, on a late night. And you know, it's just one of those things that kind of keeps you coming back in terms of, you know, that's why you watch. Because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's certainly true. And you know how I found out about it? I'm actually, you know, it was late that Friday night. I had gone and worked out. And, you know, I'm like, I'm weird, Diamond. I go and grocery shop at 1 a.m. because there's no crowd or anything. So I'm like, all right, I'm about to go hit Meijer. And right on that drive, I get, you know, my phone goes off. And you know, it's the NBA app. And it says that Klay Thompson has just scored 37 points in the third quarter. And I'm like, no, this has to be wrong. Someone's getting fired from the NBA App Store. Somebody's getting fired because they got this one wrong, okay? And I turn on the radio, and everyone's talking about it. I mean, that had, again, such an unbelievable. And, you know, looking at the highlights, you know, people and the fans in the stands started to rise on their feet during that moment. I mean, again, you as a beat writer, I mean, was there a point at during any of those shots where you kind of, like, looked around and just kind of took it all in at one point?
You know what? Actually, I probably missed out on that opportunity just being on deadline, but it was a frantic scene. You know, it's funny you mentioned that moment because I think you had the exact same reaction that Steve Kerr said his wife did.
Right.
You know, I think the app is broken. I think something's wrong. And you know, it's kind of fun too because that's kind of indicative of the times we live in, the social media age, where you know, hey, maybe you know, back then, decades ago, you're not able to share that moment.
Right,
like everybody else is, and now you know with social media, you can kind of you know really get the whole nation kind of wondering what's going on, just as the shots are going in, and it's kind of a fun deal.
Now, what was Klay's reaction in that locker room when you guys interviewed him? I mean, what was his overall demeanor?
He is typical Klay and kind of really shrugs things off. It's kind of a, and I think that's why he's endearing to a lot of his teammates. And, you know, actually Draymond was saying the other day, you wouldn't know afterward whether he scored 50 points or 0. And
right.
He's just kind of that kind of guy. And it's not kind of that Marshawn Lynch kind of behavior where he doesn't want to talk to the media. It's kind of he's just the mellow, kind of cool California kid. And, you know, clearly he knew what the moment meant. Because, you know, there was a press conference of reporters waiting to talk to him. But, you know, for him, you know, it really is. He kind of has that ability to really shut things out and make things normal every day. And that's probably what does actually make him so great.
Oh, boy, what a moment. What a moment. Etching his name in NBA history. And he's so young, too. Diamond Leung, again, Golden State Warriors beat writer for Bay Area News Group. Before I get you out of here, Diamond, I want to ask. Now, I know they lost a close one in OT against the Bulls last night. I caught a little bit of that game. And I got to ask, though, you know, looking at this incredible run, I mean, right now they sit atop the NBA's Western Conference. How legit is this team in terms of making the NBA Finals?
I think they'll be right there. I think it's hard for this team to kind of go around swaggering and saying, you know, hey, we're kind of a lock to win the title. You know, they're the favorites to win it all by Vegas right now. But, you know, for a team that hasn't had a lot of success, you know, in the past two decades, you know, they've made a couple runs. They had the We Believe year where they knocked off number one seed Dallas. They had, you know, a couple years ago where they gave the Spurs all they could handle. You know, in the second round of the playoffs. But for a team that hasn't really gone to that level yet, I think they're still kind of hesitant to maybe kind of make those grand proclamations. They understand that it's going to be a process. It's a first-year coach still. It's guys still kind of finding their way and making sure things are okay kind of when they get deep into those playoffs. And I think, you know, I'll bring it back to another Draymond, you know, Draymond Green quote. He says they haven't scratched the surface yet. Mm-hmm. The team was 36-6 at that point. And Draymond's saying we haven't scratched the surface. They still got to get used to kind of level, kind of in this offense that's been put in for just a few months now. And I think, you know, that's when you'll see, you know, maybe, you know, after the All-Star break, can they turn it up? Can they kind of keep on doing what they have been doing? As teams start to figure it out and get to know more about them. So I think we'll learn a lot more in the next few, certainly the next couple months about, you know, their playoff potential. But, you know, they're going to be right there, I think, talent-wise.
And, of course, with Steve Kerr being in his first year, as you just talked about, Diamond, I mean, evaluating, you know, Steve up until this point in the year, and I got to ask, you know, when Steve first comes in, you know, after letting go Mark Jackson, you know, Mark Jackson now, of course, doing his broadcasting thing, but he was so beloved by many teammates on that squad. I got to ask, I mean, how long did it take for this team to buy in to Steve Kerr as the head coach, and was it hard at all?
I think it actually happened pretty quickly, and I think, you know, one of the reasons is, you know, what I mentioned earlier about, you know, Steve just kind of went out of his way to really build relationships with these guys. He, one of the first things he did was he flew all the way to Australia to go visit with Andrew Bogut for really a couple days. Just kind of a quick turnaround and made the effort to do it, and now you see Bogut. And, you know, Bogut was unavailable due to the flu last night and the team lost, but, you know, really he's been such a major part of this team this year. The numbers might not show it, but in terms of his passing skills and his ability to really help this team create offense, you're just seeing it. Another guy he went out of his way to visit was Harrison Barnes, who's had kind of a comeback season, you know, after a really rough go last year. And, you know, you're really seeing him take off. So I think the Kerr's done is really gotten guys that weren't necessarily, you know, kind of on the fringes of that Mark Jackson team. He's gotten those guys to buy in. He's won over, you know, guys like Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala, even coming off the bench. That was another move that Kerr made that ended up working out. You know, he got Andre Iguodala to be unselfish and take on that role. Now you're seeing David Lee come off the bench with no problem. No problem about it. So I think the team chemistry was there, and what Steve Kerr did was he continued, you know, to foster that team chemistry, and now I think those guys are paying him back with that respect level for a first-year coach.
Well, I tell you what, I cannot wait until this summer to see if Golden State does make it all the way to the finals. They have coming from the mouths of many NBA analysts out there, many have them, you know, making that trip. But again, it's still too early to tell. We haven't even hit the All-Star break just yet. And hey, and you got Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. They're both in the three-point competition, right?
Right. That's what they've been saying. So I think there's a lot of chance for kind of a lot of razzle-dazzle leading up to those playoffs. But as you guys have seen in Detroit, you know, those championships aren't easy to come by.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, it takes a special team. It takes a lot of, you know, just, you know, progression throughout that season just to make sure you got everything just right. And, you know, we'll see how it takes it.
Boy, I tell you, they're one fun team to watch, and I tell you what, it's got to be a joy to cover them. Again, Diamond Leung, Golden State Warriors beat writer for Bay Area News Group. Diamond, thanks so much for joining me today. We will certainly be in touch, my friend.
Thanks for having me. I'll take care.
All right, you do the same. All right, let's hit our second break, I should say, folks. When we come back, we will wrap up the show by talking about Greg Madison getting kicked out of a recruit's home. Interesting stuff. We'll also give you a quick preview of the MSU women's basketball game tonight against Indiana. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, it is Wednesday, and each and every Wednesday night, we tape Current Sports TV. My guest tonight is the head strength and conditioning coach, Ken Manny, of Michigan State University. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to do is sign up online at WKR.org and just show up at 6 p.m. Pretty simple, folks. You know, I tell you what, there has been a lot of feathers ruffled and a lot of opinions concerning one player who, again, has been beasting the NFL. No pun intended, okay? He's probably, you got DeMarco Murray, you got a few other running backs up there, but I tell you what, Marshawn Lynch is up there, folks. It is a joy to watch this man play on the gridiron. He runs with anger. He runs with ferocity, and he's just fun to watch. But I tell you what, he's everything he does on the field is great, fine and dandy. But it's what is happening inside of the locker rooms, or I should say what is not happening inside of the locker rooms, that has got a lot of people a bit upset, specifically media members. And you guys know, I mean, Media Day at the Super Bowl, which was held yesterday, is the biggest media event in the world. I mean, everyone goes to the Super Bowl Media Day. I mean, people who don't even cover sports go to Super Bowl Media Day. So Marshawn Lynch took the podium and said this.
My time start. Oh, it started? Well, then let me start. Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined. So y'all can sit here and ask me all the questions y'all want to. I'm going to answer with the same answer, so y'all can shoot if y'all please. I'm here so I won't get fined. I'm here so I won't get fined.
Oh, boy. Marshawn Lynch. Again, folks, he has been on a media tour. Where he just, you know, he sits in the locker room and he does these interviews because he has to. The NFL mandates that its players give the media its due, just a few minutes of his time, and you can go on with your day. And if you don't adhere to those obligations, you know what happens? They attack your wallet. And that's exactly what's been going on with Marshawn Lynch. So, again, it's media day. It's at the Super Bowl. You have to go, right? It's an obligation. And he lets that be known, spending the few minutes that he was on the podium at Tuesday Super Bowl Media Day, saying over and over again, I am just here so I won't get fined. Now, you know, for me, you know, there are some that are going to take and have the back of Marshawn Lynch and argue that point and saying that, hey, maybe he just doesn't like talking to the media. You shouldn't make the guy talk. I hear you. Defend them all you want. I'm not that guy. I'm sorry. I'm not that guy, folks. And there seems to be an overwhelming majority that agrees with Marshawn Lynch and has his back on this. But again, I'm a guy who works in the media. You know, still, I've been doing this for 2-3 years now. Started in college. That's what I went to school for. And I tell you what, I've had numerous conversations with colleagues of mine who have been following this story, and I've been interested to hear their thoughts as well, and I have not heard one media member that, again, is quote-unquote having the back of Marshawn Lynch. Again, he's a player. You know, football players, I mean, they make all of – they get paid millions of dollars. And Marshawn Lynch is a player. I believe he's got a Skittles endorsement. I believe Progressive Insurance endorsement. His BSMO clothing line. I mean, he's a player who is rolling in the dough, ladies and gents, rolling in it. And he's a very good player. He is fantastic at what he does. Now, to compare and contrast that, folks, as a media member, unless you work for the worldwide leader or some upper echelon Fox Sports or something like that, I mean, you are not rolling in the dough, so to speak, okay? You're not getting paid anywhere close to the amount that the fourth-string running back gets paid, let alone the first-string running back. To tell me that you cannot dedicate 5 to 10 minutes of your precious, precious time to answer some questions about the game you play is absolutely ludicrous to me. And I agree, you should be fined if you don't adhere to those obligations. It comes with the territory. You are a millionaire, and you're telling me you can't spend 10 minutes to tell me about your 2-touchdown and 197-yard day? I just don't get it. I'm not that guy. I'm sorry. I understand not every athlete or not every person in general is media savvy. I've interviewed plenty of athletes who don't like getting interviewed. I've interviewed plenty of athletes who kind of give off that vibe that, hey, leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you. I've interviewed athletes like that. I get it. But at the end of the day, that's in your job description, buddy. It is in your job description. And we have jobs to do too. You know what I mean? You know, print writers like Diamond, you know, like Joe Rex Rowe, like Graham Couch. They have to get those quotes. It's in their job description. So do us a favor and make it easy. I'm just saying, man, I won't be that guy to have his back. I'm sorry, Marshawn. I'm not that guy. If you disagree, leave a comment. Facebook.com/currentsports. Leave a comment there. I will read it on tomorrow's show. Or tweet me at AlMartinWKAR.
Hey, Al, quick two notes. First of all, there's a tweet going out that Marshawn Lynch right now is answering questions saying, "You know why I'm here," end quote. That's what he's saying today.
That's the breaking news.
Second, today, actually, Al.
So he's not answering questions just like yesterday. Nothing new.
Today is a monumental day for current sports as well, Al.
Is it?
Because today is the 400th show.
Whoa, get out of here. Yes, this is number 400?
Number 400.
Wow. Man, time is fun. Well, thanks a lot, Alex, for bringing it up. I had no idea, my friend. Man, I remember when we did our 300th show, and we had a big thing on that. But, man, I tell you, the days just pile up after you've been doing this show for so long, man. Oh, I love it. I tell you what, it's a pleasure to rock this mic out Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock, man. And we have outstanding listeners out there who listen to us each and every day. We really appreciate it. Thanks a lot for bringing that up, Alex. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll table this discussion on Greg Maddison. I don't know if you guys know. I'll kind of give you a preface and give you 24 hours to think about it until tomorrow at 1 o'clock, okay? But Nebraska defensive end Deshaun Neal is committed to join the Nebraska Cornhuskers, when National Signing Day comes next week. Now, the Omaha native gave the Cornhuskers his verbal commitment last April and has stayed true to that even while evaluating other options following a coaching change in Lincoln. Now, Michigan, with Jim Harbaugh and newly assembled staff, had been one of those options until a recent recruiting pitch from the Wolverines turned sour for Neal. Now, Michigan defensive line coach Greg Maddison, who opted to stay on board as Michigan assistant coach under a reduced and more focused role on the staff, he made a visit to Neal and his family on Monday night. Now, the hope was being able to sell Neal and his family on flipping the script and committing to become a Wolverine. But that didn't go so well for Maddison, who may have crossed the line with a few regards to his academics. Now, according to a quote from Neal's father, Abraham Hoskins Jr., on a local radio station, Maddison said that Neal would not be able to get into Michigan if not for football. Wow. This is a direct quote. Let me read it real quick. Quote, "Michigan was a powerhouse. They came in and they stormed us. They made one bad statement and it was over. They said without football, Deshaun wouldn't be able to go to Michigan. Like we couldn't afford to send him there or that we couldn't get him in academically." Wow. Once he said that, we pretty much escorted him out of the house. What do you think about that? Come on, Greg. You got to be smarter than that, my man. You think that's going to get someone to come to your school? All right, we'll discuss that in great length and debate, folks. But unfortunately, we have reached that final minute of the show. Yes, the saddest minute of the show when we have to say goodbye. But I want to give a shout-out to Diamond Leung, of course, beat writer for the Golden State Warriors for the Bay Area News Group. Thanks a lot, Diamond, for joining me. And thanks a lot to all of you for tuning in to today's show. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic hump day, and be easy, people.